The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Spanking is a topic that creates an immediate emotional response in people. I can understand that, I guess, considering the fact that a lot of times words get confused in people's minds. They've heard things that sound good to them, things like, how can you teach a child not to be violent if you're violent with them and spanking is a form of violence? Well, if that's the message people are getting, of course they're going to say they're opposed to spanking. While statistics show that the majority of people do spank their children, they do administer some kind of physical discipline as they're raising their children to adulthood. I have a story here that might help clarify things a little bit for people who are intimidated at the thought of ever raising a hand to a child, or people who think that it is abuse or that it is violence, when clearly it is not. In fact, it is just the opposite, and it's one way generations of people and all mothers in the animal kingdom have chosen to discipline and to raise their own young. Okay, here's the story. My daughter said to me, and she's been raised now for more than 10 years, but she said to me, Mom, how did you do that? And when I said, how did I do what? She said, how did you get us to obey you and to do what you wanted? Just by looking at us that way you look at us sometimes. How did you do that? You never touched us, you never spanked us, you never did anything. And I said, well, yes, I did. It's just that I did it when you were too young to remember it. It never became part of my children's memory. Instead, when they were very young, between the ages of 6 months and a year of age, I would say, the first time they did something unacceptable, whether it was yanking an earring hard on my ear, or reaching for something hot, or something that could hurt them, or something that was not theirs to touch, or the tail of a cat or a dog in the vicinity, when they were very young, if they did that, I smacked the back of their hand. At the same time, I said no, with the look on my face that reinforced that command. The slap on the back of the hand stung. It did not leave a bruise. It did not wound them. It acted as a deterrent. And that's what pain does. If it's proper, pain is a deterrent. It is valuable. People who feel no pain often are killed because they cannot know that their very life is in danger since they can't feel pain. And there are people born that way. It's a very dangerous place to be, a very dangerous condition to have. And thankfully, it's very rare. But pain is important. It's only wrong when someone uses it to abuse someone intentionally, when it is overdone, when it is cruelly administered. It's only wrong if the person who is causing the pain is actually enjoying it, or they are out of control and just releasing their own emotions at the expense of someone else. That's wrong. But to administer pain in and of itself, if it isn't abusive pain, it isn't high-level pain, it isn't damaging pain, that's a good thing. And we need to somehow get that message out there, that it is a deterrent, period. In other words, if I smack the back of a child's hand, and at the same time I am saying no and shooting that look at them, my chances for keeping my child alive to adulthood are far greater than a person who says, no, no, honey. No, don't do that. Mommy said no. No, don't do that. Come here. You cannot then expect that child, when they begin to crawl toward a dangerous animal, an open flame, the street, you can't expect them to stop when you say no, because you have never, ever created that behavioral response to your words. That response comes from repetition. That's how anything learns. That's the whole idea behind Pavlov's dog that would salivate at the sound of a ringing bell, because Pavlov first always gave food when he rang a bell. The dog associated the bell then with food, and food always caused salivation. So ultimately that middle component was missed, and just the ringing of the bell caused salivation. It's the same idea. When you say no and you smack the upper thigh, the bottom, or the back of the hand, all places that have nerve endings that feel it as a sting, as something that they don't want to repeat, if it's done that way, you are successfully training them to respond immediately and without question to the word no. But you can't say no, 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 no. You can't discipline a child with words alone when they are too young to understand the purpose of what you're trying to teach, when they don't get the danger involved and what you want them to avoid. So it's a really, really important concept that we need to get across. I used to work in the field of child abuse and neglect when I was in law practicing out in the West. And I can tell you, as a person who prosecuted parents who are guilty of abuse or neglect, that no one gets in trouble for smacking a hand or smacking a bottom or smacking the top of the thigh. No one gets in trouble for that. Now, repeatedly hitting a child, slapping a child across the face, punching them with a closed fist, chaining them to a bed or locking them in a closet, depriving them of food, leaving them in filthy conditions, leaving them alone without supervision when they're too young, all of those things are abuse. But I just hope people can get the concept that the whole idea of spanking is not an abusive situation. It is not to be confused with beating. It is not, for sure, to be confused with violence in any form. It's amazing that we're so law and order-ish in our thinking these days, and we expect severe punishments for people who step outside the bounds of our laws, our rules, our norms. And at the same time, while we don't hesitate to punish an adult, while we are so harsh in our judgment of other people, we're afraid to create the kinds of people who respect authority, who respect rules. That's all a spanking is. I guess maybe one of the problems is that we don't really have a word for proper physical discipline. A spanking, for instance, usually implies putting somebody over your knees and repeatedly smacking them with an open hand fairly rapidly. That may have been a practice back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, I don't know. But we don't usually spank anymore these days, but there is no real word that we can use when we're saying administering physical discipline. We don't say those three words for sure, but that's the whole concept. We administer physical discipline. We are creating a deterrent from behavior that is dangerous to that child or to others, period. Very, very simple. Violence is a far cry from administering physical discipline to a child. They had a study done recently. I wish I could cite the name of that study, but I would think that it could be found online. It showed that the children who had been disciplined, as long as it was an earned discipline, in other words, they knew they had done something wrong, they knew they had caused some kind of damage or done something they were not allowed to do, as long as it was justified and felt fair to them, there was no damage of any kind to the child, not physically, emotionally, psychologically. There is no damage to the child. But children who were punished unfairly, and kids know if it's fair or not, if they were punished unfairly for something either that they didn't do in the first place, or the type of physical discipline didn't fit the type of the offense that they had committed, then there was an emotional damage that was created. There was an outcome that was undesirable. So, again, it comes down to good parenting. This is another reason we should stay out of the area of reproductive choices that women make, whether it's for contraception or abortion. We know if we are capable of having and raising a child, not just financially, although that's a huge consideration these days, and there are plenty of people who cannot afford to even feed and shelter a child, so they should never have one. No one can say that any form of contraception is 100% effective, so even if they're trying not to have a child, they may possibly conceive. No one should be stepping in and telling them what they can and can't do. A person also has to worry about whether or not they can adequately parent a child. I have personally known people who are wonderful human beings with great qualities, but they are absolutely lousy in the parenting department. They just don't have the capability. They don't have that aptitude. They shouldn't have children either, because they're the kinds of people who will probably snap and do damage to their children. What a lot of people don't even understand in this country or know is that 3 to 5 children per day are killed by their parents. That's far worse than preventing an unwanted pregnancy. That's far worse than ending a pregnancy early, before an embryo has developed to the point where there's any nerve endings where it can experience pain and suffering. What's terrible is, are people going overseas to war to be maimed or killed, to come back with psychological wounds that will never heal? That's what the pro-life people should be protesting. Pro-life people should be actively engaged in creating peace, in waging peace, not war, and getting out of the business of other people's private reproductive choices. People don't realize that homicide is one of the leading causes of death in children, that the killing of our children is the third cause of death in the United States for children under 4. Think about that for a minute. 80% of the killing of children under 1 is from battering them, is from, in other words, beating them to death. So I have a problem with people saying that abortion is wrong and at the same time not addressing the fact that each person knows whether or not he or she is fit to parent. Each person needs to be left to their own decisions, their own intellect, their own knowledge of themselves when it comes to having children or not. So once you have the child, you have to discipline it if you're going to be a decent parent. The child can't discipline themselves. No child can raise themselves. We are the teacher. We are the role model. We are the one in charge. And while we're in charge, we need to act like it. So the only thing I would urge is that we get a grip on what violence is and what abuse is versus physically disciplining a child. But we necessarily must act out of love for our children, out of concern for who they will be when they grow up and how they will behave as they grow up. That's our duty, it's our gift, and it's our highest calling to act in the best interest of our children, always and everywhere, to act in the best interest, to be there for them, to do what is right by them, and to trust that in doing the very best we can, which means setting limits which are best enforced by physical discipline when they are too young to understand words, before they can understand what we're trying to tell them, before they can understand the consequences of their actions. In those early times, while they are still too young to ever remember any discomfort associated with our disciplining of them. But at the same time, they have learned what no means, and they have learned that we love them and that we will always be there to protect them and to do what's right for them. We can't do any more than that. That is our greatest gift to our children, just as they are usually the greatest gift we ever receive from the universe. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.